audibletrial.com/go to hell. Are you a little bit stupid and don't really want to read? Or maybe you're a little bit stupid and want to tell people that you're smart and also don't want to read. Maybe you're driving, or you're a little bit driving. Well, go to audibletrial.com/go to hell and get a free sample of audible.com with lots of audiobooks to make yourself sound smarter. You're stupid. audibletrial.com/go to hell.
Okay, welcome to Hack Thought Podcast, a podcast about thoughts you don't think to think about. Every once in a while, we do what's called a rapid hack thought, which is just little thoughts that we have to get through. Okay, this is sort of an extension of one we've done before. So the other week we talked about whether you'd think about being a different animal. Animal powers is the best way I could describe it. Do you ever think about being a human and having powers attributed to an animal? I guess I was just on a podcast and I was talking about dog's sense of smell, you know.
Ooh, yeah.
Smell time. Is there any animal – power is the wrong word, you know what I mean? But is there any animal attribute, some sort of thing that if a human had it would be superhuman that you want?
I do like the ability of bats, how they sleep upside down or hanging from a perch.
Just being able to hang upside down is a pretty cool power in itself. Just being able to
– just with your feet. Basically, I want talons.
You greedy son of a bitch. Why can't it be from whatever? It has to be from your feet? You couldn't hang upside down if you were hanging it by your knees. You couldn't do that for a long time.
Not a long time.
You'd pass out. So isn't that enough?
Well, I want the full length hang. I don't want this hanging over a pole with half my leg bullshit. I want the full experience.
Where would you hang from that you have enough? What poles do you encounter where you have enough space to hang from your feet?
Sprinkler system.
What?
Sprinkler system.
What?
The fire, the emergency.
You believe that's weight bearing?
No, but I mean, if I had the power, I would hang from.
No, you wouldn't. No, you wouldn't. You don't have the power to defy gravity.
Okay, so yeah, you're saying that the pipe would break.
You still weigh the same.
Okay, so I would.
The pipes wouldn't burst. It's not a thing of water. It's not that I think you have super powerful feet and they're going to clamp it shut like a cartoon.
Okay,
I mean, you'll fall. It's not meant to hold the weight of a. Otherwise, people would use it to do pull-ups and shit.
I want the brain power of an orangutan.
Yeah, I would say that's aiming high. I don't know how you would handle. You'd be a totally different person if you had the brain power of an orangutan.
Peeling bananas. That's
stupid. That's a stupid one. I like this idea of you having the upside down thing. What do you want out of it? But I guess you're not really considering the fact that you wouldn't really be able to use it. You'd have to install something that you could hang upside down on.
Yeah, go from the get.
Would
get
you
a
sleep
bar.
Upside down?
Oh, every day, every night.
Well, if you have a pull-up bar, people rarely have enough space to do a full pull-up. If you're fully extended, you're going to be touching. Like, you don't have that much room.
I have a pretty high ceiling. I have a nice apartment.
You'd have to install, but your door frame doesn't go that high.
Okay,
you'd have
fine.
To
not
do a significant amount of installing, is what I'm saying.
I'll get a full room length bar that
you'd
supports
have to get,
my
like,
weight.
An Olympic bar, yeah, like an uneven bar kind of thing.
Yeah, I'll have to vault up to it and hang from it.
Would you live your same life with the superpower, or would you do other stuff with it?
Yeah, I would install upside down desks. I would have an upside down dinner.
But you'd have the same job. Like you wouldn't use this power to do something else. You wouldn't, like, now that you want to be a comedian and you're a writer and all these video things, would you now that you can hang upside down, would you, like, you know, I don't know, rescue people from helicopters or something? Something akin to that.
I mean, that's a good idea. I'd consider it.
You would consider it.
Yeah.
I would. I don't think if I had any of these powers I'd want to change. I don't know whether you could not change your life. Do you know that's the other thing too, is once you have these different genetics, would you live the same life? What do you think about that?
It's about the marketability. Can I sell myself?
Need people upside down and everything. Yeah.
Yeah, it could be like upside down man. Something.
That alone.
No. Yeah, I mean, people love a freak show. So give them the show. I love attention.
Not politically correct to say freak show.
Sorry.
It's a bit like saying... No, it's okay. I want to explain it to people. It's a bit like saying... like a Jim Crow show or something like that, you know?
Ooh, yeah, let's not do that.
It's akin to many peoples with disabilities as a sort of version of their bondage or humiliation of their... I'm allowed to explain something to people that people might not know, Deepu.
Yeah, but I'm not a fucking asshole, all right? I meant well.
The path to hell is paved with good intentions. Subwoofers. I didn't answer my animal thing.
Yeah, what would be your thing?
I would not take any, honestly. I really wouldn't take any. I think the only one I could consider is cold-bloodedness. I think that's a really cool thing.
But now you're subjecting yourself to being colder.
No. I regulate my heat in a different way.
So you would have to be around warmth to be warm.
I like the idea. Yeah, I like the idea of that, you know, it's a control thing that I will feel cold, you know, in sensing it, however they sense it, and have to move towards a hot area. I like that about it. I like that. Okay. I've always liked that. I've always thought being cold-blooded would be a fun way to live.
Okay. I mean, it'll be that way.
What is the problem with cold-bloodedness?
What's wrong with 98.6 degrees?
You could maintain that. You would need to in order to keep your organs alive. It would be how you maintain it. You'd either have to be under a heat lamp. Or
yeah, sure.
It's not a thrill thing. I think it would be more fun than sweating.
Okay, I mean, yeah, sweat's kind of disgusting. I see. I know you hate sweat.
I hate sweat outside of workouts. I really like sweating. I really like sweating, which is what I think I'd miss about it. But I really like when I work out. I really like sweating. When I play sports, I like this. I sweat a lot when mm-hmm. I work out, and so I love that. I love sweating. I don't like it when I have no control over it. I hate it. I hate when I have no control over it. So I've always thought that would be a cool animal ability, and I'm fine with the consequences of you have to find something hot, you have to find something cold. I'm fine with that.
You know what power I want?
What power do you want?
Three stomachs of a cow, baby.
No, you don't. You have no idea how that works. This is, again, an example of how I'm going to explain to you how that works and explain why that would be a miserable lifestyle.
Well, why would it be miserable? I get to chew grass?
Yes. Are you aware that you cannot stop chewing grass? Pretty much every hour a cow is awake. I mean, not every hour, but a huge amount of a cow's life or any animal with multiple stomachs. They are vomiting this what's in one stomach up to the throat and chewing what's called cud, which is partially digested food, because they eat things like grass, which has a huge amount of cellulose, which a normal stomach, one stomach, could not break down. You cannot eat grass as a human being. Even lettuce, which is somewhat breakdownable, we don't really break down. The cellulose goes through us. And so it's known as roughage. It moves stuff out of us. It's good for us. It's amount of fiber in some ways. There's not really in lettuce, but there's soluble fibers in other things which we can't really dissolve, but they break down a little bit more and they move through our stomach and they help keep us regular. You poop.
I just want to have three stomachs.
You are all day for somebody who talks Deepu in stand-up comedy. You could be unexpectedly on stage and chewing half-digested grass.
I mean,
you don't want
like
three
that.
Stomachs.
Okay, fine.
The restaurant saga continues. Okay, so as all these episodes are called, the restaurant saga, we believe there's a lot of hack thoughts involving restaurants, chief of which, in my opinion, is the idea that wanting someone to wait on you is really sort of indicative of a sick mind. I'm going to go that far. I know it doesn't sound comedic. And it doesn't sound like it's going to be funny, but I really think that if you want someone to dote on you like that, the least offensive version of it, of a server, as I learned, I'm saying waiter or waitress wrong in this episode, the least offensive version of it is that it's some restaurant-based sexual fetish. If it's not that, then what you want is someone to serve you. And we get into types of people who serve and how weird it is that you might want someone to serve with the immutable, the unmovable, the other adjectives that are irrelevant and you might not have thought because of the way I said it, Tyler Richardson. Because you're on speakerphone now, and now I catch people. I'm like, do they know I can hear them like cutting stuff and putting stuff away and like they're pretending like they're really focused? Like what do I say something or is this ammo for later where I'm like, yeah, and you weren't even on the phone that one time?
It's a tough one. My instinct is to say something. But I also, even though it's none of my business, if someone's on the phone in the bathroom and they're like dropping the deuce and I didn't hear them tell the other person, I'll flush. Just to let the other person know what's really going on.
Oh, you're talking about you're in a stall. Someone else is in a stall next to you, and they're like, "Yeah, well, we got to get those accounts out by Friday," and you will blow their cover. Oh, you're devious. So
it's always funny when you start laughing, and then the other person either laughs or they just freak out and get out of there.
People are never embarrassed. That's what I found. That's a fake emotion. People are never embarrassed. I would hope so many people that say they're embarrassed would be embarrassed. It would be a better world.
The world will be a better place. We just have to beat it into submission.
Okay, so here's what we're going to do. We're obviously on mic now. I'm going to try and not act as a radio professional, pretend I didn't just swallow some strange hair particle in my throat and work through it. This is what we're going to do. We're going to do like 5 minutes about talking about restaurants, and then we'll do a rapid hack thought, which is like a sort of game showy kind of thing, and we'll get you on 2 episodes. But I'm very interested in the first thing. So we're doing this whole year of restaurants and stuff, and I've told you my theory about waiters, but you worked where? And you feel free to say brand names, because I don't care if the brand name gets upset. I don't know if you know this, but I did a whole half hour making fun of Outback Steakhouse. So at this point, if restaurants are going
to
come after us,
make fun of.
Well, that's it. I genuinely like kitschy places, and I genuinely find them ridiculous. And mostly it's waiters. So where did you work at, or what they force waiters to do? Really, is what I don't like.
I was a server waiter TGI Fridays.
Have you seen TGI Friday's new commercials?
How do I feel TGI Friday's what?
Have you seen their new commercials they have on TV, on the television?
Oh, well, I mean, I'm a little old-fashioned. I don't care for the fact that they dropped the TGI, even though I'm not religious, so yay. And I don't know, ever since they started with the Guy Fieri stuff, and as a matter of fact, it was Atkins when I was in college working there, and that was gross, too. I don't know that I've ever been a big fan of TGI Fridays. Mm-hmm. I don't mind going in there and getting a soda. But their food and apps and whatnot, I ate so much when I worked there, it totally displeases me to even think about ordering Fridays now. Yeah. But I do think that they've gone downhill since I used to be there.
So their new commercials are now like TGI F it, as if a friend said to me, like, F it. Like, you don't give a shit anymore. F it. Just eat here. Whatever. F it. Fuck it. You're fine. F it. It's don't be embarrassed that you're hanging out here. F it. Whatever. You're at that point in your life. F it. You know, like.
I mean, you shouldn't be embarrassed to be eating at Fridays just because you know what you did. So if you're going to pick your nose and eat what you find, at least have, I don't know, courage or pride about it.
So I guess...
Yeah, I'm at Fridays, and after this, I'm going to go to the back lot and eat a rat.
Well, I'm still hungry. Do you want a rat? Let's get a rat. Just behind that.
Excuse me. You stepped in some shit. Are you going to eat that? You're going to give it to me to eat.
So let's get right to my new theory, which I will say, you know, obviously you being a black comic has a little to do... with my theory, and it was important to me to find a funny black person to ask about this. So I sort of feel as though waiters in general, and waitresses and servers, I guess I should start saying it the right way, which in itself is not a bad, it's like flight attendant. Flight attendant isn't as good as stewardess. Stewardess was in a position on military boats and was like a commanding, respectful term. A flight attendant sounds like, I don't know. It's not as good. So I will say server, even though that is definitely worse because you're like serving.
I say server just because, and I feel like it's less about whatever the disrespectful name was, and it's more like everywhere just wants something where you can't tell what sex someone is by their title.
That's true.
So waiter, waitress, server,
actor,
anybody.
We generally say comic now instead of comedian and comedienne.
Exactly, because if somebody goes out of their way to say comedian, that's almost as odd as being like, this next person is a woman, brace yourself.
This is a good time to check text messages, smokers, get up. Like, yeah, you're right. It does point it out in a horrible way. So
it does. Like, I don't know if anybody's seen the black table off to the right, but when you get a chance to, peek over there. Don't let them catch you.
So I guess my question is I think that this subservient thing of having a waiter, A, makes servers and things like that feel like shit, but have to pretend that they're doing okay. What was the experience like for you at TGI Fridays? Was there a way you had to, were you told to act a certain way at tables? Like, what was the whole experience like for you? I guess I am looking for the negative because I don't like being doubted upon. I'll say it in the verse. It does feel like this person wants me to be like a slave master and like telling them what to do.
Well, I definitely see your logic there. And of course, now bear in mind, I am a weird person. Now, at that time, I was also still in the Army Reserve, so you would think that I should have been very able to follow rules and I should have been upstanding. However, 20-year-old me did not really care for rules. I didn't care about much, so I didn't care about that job. They want you to be friendly and whatnot. Now, I think I was a good server in the fact that you never had to wait for a refill. I didn't have enough tables that, like, I would leave somebody sitting for 20, 30 minutes. I do think that serving people does leave a bad taste in my mouth. I don't ever want to serve people. I think I'm fairly easy to please when I'm being served. I don't have a million dietary restrictions or anything like that, no special needs. The only thing that pisses me off is if I'm trying to make eye contact with you, and you make it very clear to me that your priority is everywhere but me, then I'm not going to tip you what I feel like is a standard 20% because I have to send a message like, I didn't care for your service at all. And if somebody's spending my money, yes, I do think that we should tip and pay our servers well. If I don't, you really gave me bad service, and it takes a lot. It's like it takes a lot for me to leave a bad review because that's not who I am. But if I did, I really want some lesson to be learned there.
So I'll say this, because your second time on the podcast, and it's the second time I've mentioned it because people can't see you. You are, and I believe I am, fairly good-looking guys. I sometimes think that that's what it is when they don't make the eye contact and they don't want to serve you. Is that like... that they're like, oh, like, it's a good-looking person. I don't really want to, like, make this awkward and, like, staring at them. And they end up being worse towards you because they like the way you look. So I'll add that to your ego in terms of tips.
That's what happened. As a matter of fact, I'm going to tell my girlfriend the next time something doesn't go my way, it's going to be because I'm good-looking. I'm going to be like, this is because I'm too good-looking. And I need to record her reaction. It's either going to be a high-five, which I would love, or laughter, which I will record and share with you, but I will not be pleased with.
So I think that's part of it. But then also, there's an interesting element here of you being a comic. And the thing that I find the weirdest about all the description you've said is they want you to be friendly. I mean, that's an odd thing to ask of people. And it's an odd thing in the comic business itself and the entertainment business itself to be friendly. But the idea that you're asking, like, a server to, that they want you to be friendly, I don't know why they're being forced to do that more than any other business interactions where people are just, maybe they're not told to be friendly, but they're just normal people. I don't understand why being just a normal person and just avoid unpleasant has to now be with places like Fridays and Chili's and Denny's, where they're like, be friendly, be their fake friend, be this weird grandma character towards them.
Well, you know, I'm definitely in agreement with you about that. Here's the problem. For some reason, people really want for it to seem like you enjoy stuff you don't enjoy. Tell me if you've ever had this argument before, and this is going to be not work-related, but then we'll work our way back. Have you ever had an argument with, like, someone you were in a relationship with over something you didn't want to do, but you did it, but it didn't seem like you wanted to do it?
Yes. Yes, I've had it. I've had that break many different ways. Yeah.
Right, and you're like, but I did it. Like, I don't. No one likes washing the dishes or taking out the trash, but I did it. And they're like, yeah, but I want you to want it to. And it's like, why would you want me to want to take out the trash? Like, that doesn't make any sense. And it's the same thing with serving people. They want you to have a smile while you please them, probably because they're paying you money. But I do think, the customer is always right with a big asterisk next to it. So, yes, you should be somewhat closer to neutral than unhappy. But then on the other side of it, it's like, dude, I'm a person, and I really want to smile while I go grab you some, like, fresh straws or something. As long as I'm not slapping your drink off the ground or disrespecting you, I've done my job. And I agree with that, too.
I guess, well, the other side of it too is that, like, you know, I feel it makes servers into, like, again, it is making it like they're idiots in a lot of ways, where it's, and I know it's not going to make sense at first, but it's like, you see an open kitchen, right? No one has ever told someone in an open kitchen, well, look, people are watching you, so you need to pretend like you are the fucking Keebler elves, just so happy, Willy Wonking this food together and singing songs and stuff. And no one's ever said that to them. I mean, I'm sure they're like, hey, try to keep the racial slurs that often go on between chefs to a low volume, you know, like...
I hope.
Yeah, well, that's that culture. It's like fireman culture, too. There's a big ball-busting culture to it. But the they never would say, like, be cheerful and chipper and, like, hi-ho, off to work we go. So it's like, I sometimes feel, because I've worked somewhat in food, and everyone has worked restaurant adjacent to some degree, but I've never been a server. And I feel as though, did you feel at all like this was they were sort of sending out this message that this person, this is the most they're capable of, that, like, they're so happy, like, putting a straw in your drink or tearing the straw a quarter of the way down, that, like, oh, gee golly, this is, like... I always felt that was demeaning to servers, that if they're happy when doing jobs that are, like, fairly simple, not that it's an easy job, but that it's, like, it's not the maximum of this person's capacity, each individual task. And so being, like, super friendly is, to me, like, a little, like, oh, yeah, they're like a simpleton. All they know how to do is get me ice for my thing. And so look at how happy the simpleton is.
But you know what's kind of weird is the more that I hear you talk about them being happy, the more that it flashes back to something in my mind, and I'm questioning everything, because when I think about, I get really sad when I think about mental handicaps and disabilities, and I often tell people how I get into this conversation, I have no idea, but I often say, you know, if they don't know that other people are capable of more and are living not a better life, but a different life. Like, if they have no idea, let's say you're someone with the mind of a 5-year-old, but you're in your 30s or 40s. If you don't know, I don't know why that gives me, like, peace, but I would rather they didn't know than walking around, hopefully still happy, but trying to make the best of a bad situation, understanding that you're disadvantaged, and you had no say in it, it's not fair, it's not right, and some people get to be born Will Smith's son that are perfectly physically and mentally healthy, and if you know that you just caught a bad one on this go, it's really sad to me. Now, coming back to what you were saying about the happy servers, then I'm just like, I know better than the people who want them to smile. I don't know.
Well, I'll tell you a story that has. I think we've found the crux of your experience there, and that it is a little bit more mysterious, especially when you're in it. So I'll tell you a story of my life, which I rarely do with anyone, that might make you happy. Is I lived in an
apartment. Well, it does. If we don't get the peek behind the curtain very often.
So I lived in an apartment building that was near an organization called Jespy House. And what they do is, for lack of a better word, familiarize people who have mental illness to a certain extent, genetic mental illnesses to the world. And they sort of are like an extended school. And it's like, again, for lack of a better word, like a halfway home place where they
Where they train them to do a job where they can, like, support themselves?
More than trained to do a job. And this is where I'm getting to, like, your point about being sad. That with all mental illness, the more aware you are of it, ironically to your point, the healthier you get. And these people who were in Jespy House, and they range from people, you know, with Asperger's that you would never tell physically or really from a lot of their interactions that they had. They were, I am telling you, the most polite people in the world because they were given a sense of the mental illness. And what they would do is, like, if something wasn't going well with them, and I had, you know, intimate interactions with them, I was in an apartment building with them, you know, sharing parking spots and elevators and stairwells and laundry rooms. They were so...
Can I just stop for a second?
Yeah.
Because I thought to myself, dear God, they're driving, but go on.
So they would be like, if something didn't go well, I never had like car accidents with them, but like, so if something didn't go well, they were so aware, which is, I think, a problem with people in general, is like they had the good part of it, is they were so aware, like, perhaps I'm not seeing this situation well because of my condition. And so they would ask you questions about what they do wrong. They would unpromptedly apologize for not understanding a situation because they were aware, which I think all people should be aware. I honestly think most people should be involved in these programs because it's like they were aware, perhaps this person is upset because I've misperceived something because of my condition. And I often would be more comfortable with the way they handled something than a quote-unquote, you know, a normal or average person would, because, you know, they are normal. I hate the stigmatization of the word normal. It's okay to say if you have...
I know, we gotta be very careful with our words.
But... I've had a real problem with OCD. Guess what? When I was, you know, less healthy, I'm fine not calling that, saying that wasn't normal. Okay? I'm okay with saying that at the times when I wasn't okay, you know, cleaning shoe marks after someone's been in my apartment. Guess what? Not normal. Weird. Fine with both. You know, like, it wasn't
healthy.
Yeah,
you might be right, but that person still needs to be told you pick up your feet when you come in here.
Oh, yeah, there's a lot of right in there, too. But I guess it should make you happy to know that when they actually are able to process the sense that part of them is off, they are actually happier because they're more aware of it. That it is, the ignorance is bliss is, of course, I think, a myth in itself. And so when you have a waiter who comes in and knows, like, because then when the waiter explodes, I guess is the way I want your closing thoughts on it. When the waiter then explodes on you and or is like, oh, that's against store policy to do, you know, even though they're pretending to be your buddy, you know, well, then all of a sudden it's like that the peek behind the curtain. It is like, wait a minute. You didn't really believe in the system before. You're aware enough that you didn't have to be my fake friend.
You know, that makes a lot of sense, and it does, and again, I don't know why, because it's not like I have someone close to me who is disabled, but it makes me feel better knowing that they're okay, and they can actually, like, if somebody stopped me and apologized for not understanding, and they just had that understanding, I don't know, that does make me feel better hearing that whole story.
So would you want, I guess, the reverse, a fake waiter being fake friendly, a fake server. I'm going to have to get myself out of this habit, but a fake server.
Nah, they don't need to be friendly. I mean, I'm not that person. But as friendly as I need you to be is, if I say thank you or have a nice day, just give me your welcome or, yeah, you too. That's about it. You don't need to smile on my face, but by all means, I don't want to see, without a great explanation, people that I saw get there after me, getting served before me, or getting special treatment, like you're constantly asking them if they need anything, and you haven't even been by my table in like 25 minutes.
Right. There's a sense of justice with serving that you're talking about there, that maybe is what I should be exploring here, is that you're not even talking about friendly or not friendly, that's fairness.